A successful football program focuses on improving beyond the X's and O's. Staffing, leadership, character development, team unity. These core elements make a huge difference in the success of your program on and off the field. USA Football has teamed up with ESPN to provide coaches with a resource focused on the specifics that differentiates a good from a great team. Get your free copy today at usafootball.com/ESPN.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. I am honored to be joined today by the head football coach at St. John Bosco in Bellflower, California, Coach Jason Negro. Coach, it's great to have you here.
Hey, thanks a lot, Keith. I appreciate it and look forward to this podcast.
Coach, this is going on your ninth year now at Bosco. You guys won the state championship in 2013 and finished number one in the country in max preps. Did it again in 2016 and finished number two. This past year, depending on which poll you looked at, you guys were either number three or number eight in the country. But I think, you know, the fact that remains, you guys are just doing an outstanding job and have a great football program and great football team.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We've been very fortunate at Bosco over the 8 years that I've been there. And, you know, we're making a commitment to trying to be the best that we can possibly be. And we're pretty fortunate in which the league that we participate in gives us the opportunity to play in some of these really great games and elevates our national rankings to the highest possible point. And, you know, we've been able to go out of state and play some games as well and win some of those games. That's also kind of expanded our brand across the country, and that's something that we want to continue, you know, to the years to come.
And that's not necessarily your typical high school program. And we've had plenty of state champs on the podcast and guys who do a great job. But, you know, when we think about being able to have that kind of recognition across the country and being able to play games a little bit more nationally than other schools, it certainly takes a lot, a commitment by, number one, your school, I believe, and then number two, yourself and the coaching staff.
Yeah, without question. I mean, I think that you have to have, you know, all components and all phases of the school, you know, that's going to be behind you and what you're trying to accomplish. I mean, you know, we have a very supportive administration, a very supportive athletic director who is going to get behind me and, you know, kind of allow me to go and do what I think that I need to do, what's in the best interest of my program. You know, I got a great set of parents that are behind us 100%. And then, you know, talking about the coaching staff and the student athletes, you know, it's kind of a combination of a lot of things that are going to make you successful. And if you don't have that, you really don't have a chance. And you see so many programs through the years, that lose that focus and don't have the ability to have all phases kind of pulling in the same direction. And if you don't do that, it's going to be very, very difficult to succeed. And like I said, Bosco, we're on a platform that we're very fortunate that allows us to play national games and allows us to play in a league that's going to give us national exposure. And like I said, if you don't have those things, you know, it's very difficult to reach the elevated heights that we have. So I'm very fortunate at the location in which I, you know, belong to, fortunate for the parents and the coaching staff that I have, obviously my student athletes, but most importantly, you know, I'm very fortunate for the administration that I have because they do such a really good job of getting behind our program and understanding that I have a vision and they back that vision 100%.
Coach, let's take a step back and you know, kind of go back in your career. What were the things that prepared you for this opportunity?
You know, I think just experience. You know, I think back to the first couple of years as a coach. You know, I spent 7 years at Chabuco Hills High School as a head coach out in Orange County, and it was just kind of like a little local public school, and we did really well. We won a lot of games, and we played in some big games and played in a couple championship games and things like that. But it was just experience. I think, you know, as the years went on, we just became better and better. And the good thing is I think I have a staff and myself, we're a bunch of learners. And I think that's the number one thing that you need to have if you want to be a successful high school coach or you want to have a successful high school program, is you kind of have to go out and model your program after some really elite programs out there and learn from them. And I think that if you're not afraid of that and you want to go out and learn and you want to get better and you want to try to improve on things, That's what you're going to need to do in order to be successful. And I think that's one of the greatest areas that we really focused on in order to elevate our program to where it is today.
Coach, learning is such a big part of this profession, and growing up as coaches, we have opportunities to learn from, and a lot of times that's from a mistake. So thinking back, you know, towards the beginning of your career, what's a mistake you made, and what did you learn from it?
You know, I think, you know, obviously there's a ton of mistakes, and I think early in my career, I would put emphasis on some areas, you know, that maybe weren't all that important in terms of winning games, and, you know, whether it be, you know, whatever the situation might be, you know, getting the kids out of class early, you know, to get into team meal over to the stadium, or we would leave, have too long of pregames, and then our kids were tired, and then when we started the game, we didn't play very well, or our pregame walkthrough on Thursdays prior to the Friday night games, you know, we really didn't put enough emphasis on that, and then we weren't able to be as prepared as possible. So, I think the more mistakes that you make, the better you can become. One of the things I really take a lot of pride in is I'm kind of a worst case scenario person in terms of how I run my program and how I conduct my practices or even approach the season. I say, going into it, what is the worst case scenario? What are the things that we really need to try to have to overcome in order for us to be successful? You know, who is that best team on the schedule that we need to really prepare for and we need to start looking at back in summer, even though they might be the eighth week of the season? So I think if you approach things in a worst case scenario and you try to prepare your team and your program, because they change every single year, you never have the same team, you never have the same staff or kids or the makeup of the schedule. It always seems to be changing. So take a look at each and every year as you go into it and kind of plan for those worst case scenarios. And I think that's something that I've been able to learn through the years that's really helped us.
Coach, when you look at, you know, the coaching staff and the group of guys you've been able to put together, and then obviously kind of painting that in the light of being ranked number one in the nation, consistently being in the top 10 in the nation, do you feel that there's like higher expectation or job requirements for your guys, or does this group of guys just excel at what they do and it's honestly no different than, you know, maybe your program that doesn't have the spotlight on it?
No, I think the expectations are incredibly high, and I think that we place those upon our coaches, you know, just as much as we place it on the kids or the administration. I mean, I think, you know, it's a foregone conclusion that if you're going to be a part of the program at St. John Bosco, that, you know, the expectations are we want to win on a national landscape, and we want to be able to compete at the highest level no matter what opponent that we're going to be playing from week to week. So, you know, the expectations are there. I don't think we can hide from them. I think that if we do add a coach here or there, or if we have a coach leave, you know, our program, you know, it's something that we need to make sure that we're replacing them with the right type of guys that understand the expectations and what we're trying to accomplish. And I think that there are lofty expectations, let me tell you. And the more successful you become, the higher the expectations, you know, continue to go as you go through it. So the expectations are extremely high, and, you know, I place them on myself as well as my staff equally.
Coach, when you look at that group of guys you're coming in, and maybe you have to replace somebody, and certainly you're going to want that guy's resume that shows he's got the experience, that he's got the knowledge,
sure,
and all those things. Those aside, what are you looking for when you sit down with a potential coach, a candidate for a position in your program?
I think the biggest thing that I look for with a new coach coming into my program is a guy that's going to fit into the culture of my staff. I'm very big on, you know, making sure that we all have to get along and we're all going to have to be in a room for, you know, long periods of time, you know, over the course of a season. Over the last 5 years, we've played in five straight, you know, CIF championship games. We played in two state championship games, and those are like 17-week seasons. So if you talk about staff that's going to be together for 7 days a week, because we work as a staff on Saturdays and Sundays, we break the 2 days up, you're going to have to be in a room with people for a long period of time. So the first thing that you look for when you have a coach and you're going to bring them in is they have to understand, number one, that they got to fit into your culture, and number two, they have to understand their role. And I think that's something that is, you know, kind of lost a lot of times. It seems like nowadays a lot of coaches, all they want to do is call plays, or all they want to do is coach on game nights, and they forget about if you know, all the important things that lead up to that. You know, you don't just show up on Friday night and go coach a game. There's a lot of preparation that goes on from Saturday all the way to Thursday that's going to put you in a position to be successful on Friday night. And every single coach has a role, and every single coach has to embrace that role and for, you know, our team to have the success that we want. Not everybody can call plays, but, you know, if your job is to make sure that the signalers are getting the offensive play calls in, you know, to the quarterback and, you know, to the skill positions on the field, then you better do that job to the best of your ability and realize that without that component, we can't be successful. So the guys that I hire, I really make sure, you know, that I put that as a premium and I make that an emphasis for them to come aboard on my program. And knock on wood, luckily over the last, you know, 8 years, I've been able to surround myself with really talented people.
Because you got, you know, you mentioned the culture of your staff and obviously what you build with those guys, you want to filter down into your program. You know, what is it about your culture? What are the main things that you're looking for to establish? So you say, this is what we need to be an elite team in this country, an elite team in our league, an elite team in the state of California.
Well, using the term elite, I think that each and every coach has to be elite at their particular, you know, position. Each coach has to be elite in their particular role in the job that they have within the program. You know, so if everybody is trying to be the best that they possibly can be, then I think if you collectively put it all together, it's going to, you know, spread to the rest of the team as well. You know, and that goes to every facet of what we're trying to accomplish, whether it's in the weight room. You know, we want to be the best technicians that we possibly can be when teaching, you know, the proper, you know, Olympic lifting, you know, techniques that we're teaching the kids. Or if we're out onto the field and we're working on our linear movement or our lateral movement with our kids, then we want to be schooled up and we want to make sure that we're coaching, you know, with the right techniques. And then it, you know, filters into the football side of things where whether we're in the classroom and we're teaching on film and we're on the board and we're trying to, you know, prepare our kids for the particular game plan, you know, or we're on the field and we're going through our everyday drills and we're trying to get our kids in each position to be as successful as possible. You need to be the best coach you possibly can be, and you need to control the things that you can control. And as long as our coaches understand that, when you put all of those components together and everybody's kind of pushing in the same direction, I think that's where you can be successful. So I think the greatest thing is making sure everybody is as elite as possible. And if there is an area in your coaching style or in your coaching DNA that is lacking, then it's your responsibility, you know, or even my responsibility through an evaluation process to find out where you could go to get that that help and to fill that void.
Coach, speaking of coaching style and coaching DNA, where did your style develop? Who was part of that DNA, those influencers for you?
You know, I like I said, I was kind of a learner. I was kind of the type of person that I enjoyed the role of a leadership. I started at the Pop Warner level. You know, I was just a little youth football coach, and I took a lot of pride in working with the kids, and it started with the 7 and 8 year olds, and I worked all my way all the way up, and I got a varsity position, you know, back in, I think it was like 1998 or so at Bosco, which is my alma mater. It's where I went to school. I was hired to coach the defensive backs, and I wanted to be the best defensive back coach possible. So Kike Mendoza, who was the head coach at the time, gave me my first opportunity. So I owe a lot of gratitude to him for introducing me to the varsity level and allowing me an opportunity to come and to become the coach that I eventually wanted to become. And then I went down to Tribuco Hills and was hired by a guy named Bill Crow, who was kind of a legend in Orange County and won a bunch of championships at Mission Viejo High School as well as at Tribuco Hills. And spent a lot of time with him, learning from him, being a part of his staff, and he was somebody that was really important to me. And then another one is a guy that just retired out here, and it was kind of a mentor, was a guy named Jeff Brinkley, who was at Newport Harbor High School, was just recently retired. But, you know, when I got the job at Tribuco, and it was my first year as a head coach, I called Coach Brinkley, and I said, man, I really don't know how to run you know, a program. I might know some X's and O's and I might know the football side of things, but there's so much more to a successful program than just what happens on the field. Can you help me with all the off the field stuff and dealing with parents and boosters and, you know, administrations? And I went down to his office one day and he had a box for me and handed it to me and said, here's all my stuff. You know, you could go through it. If you have questions, call me. I'll help you with everything that I possibly can. And then I have a pretty good network of coaches that I've become friends with over the years. I'm really good friends with Tony Sanchez, who was at Bishop Gorman High School, and his brother Kenny. You know, so we bounce ideas off each other all the time. I'm really good friends with a guy, Justin Allenbaugh, who's at Concord De La Salle High School, and we spend a lot of time talking back and forth, throwing ideas at each other. And I'm not afraid to call anybody. Dave White's an old guy at Edison High School here in California who just recently retired, and I'll call Dave and ask him questions. So I think that as long as you're comfortable in who you are as a coach and you're not afraid to reach out, that there's a lot of people that can help mentor you and get you to a position of success.
Yeah, and it's such an easy thing today, Coach, I think, to be able to find those people, to be able to reach out to them. You know, the internet is amazing. Twitter, social media, all those things that these young guys have the opportunity to do and reach out. How important do you think it is, you know, for young guys to find their mentors, to find some guys that can help them?
Well, I think it's the only way that our game is going to survive. You know, I think it's really important for us to continue to become better as coaches, so that way we can continue to develop these student athletes, you know, at young ages in order to make the game continue to be, you know, what it is today. And, you know, it's important for young coaches to be patient. I think that's one of the things that these guys nowadays I'm finding more and more is they're very impatient. They, you know, like I said, they want to come to the varsity level. They want to call plays. They want to be a guy that's, you know, literally, you know, at the forefront of what's happening in the program. And they got to realize, look, there's a process at which you got to go to get there. Not everybody can just show up on a Friday night, call plays, and be successful. It's a very difficult thing to do, especially if you're playing at the level at which we're playing, where everybody can coach at a high level. Everybody's super successful. So if young guys simply have the attitude of, hey, I don't know everything. I want to know everything. I may never know everything, but I'm at least going to go strive to be the best that I possibly can be. And they go out and talk to people, or they go learn from people, or go to practices and watch and use all the resources that are at their disposal. I think they can be fairly successful.
Coach, I know in your state, you know, in every state, I'd say the game is under some scrutiny, but in your state, especially right now, there's some challenges that you're facing in that people want to get laws on the books that are going to ban youth football. You know, what are your thoughts on that topic right now? And I guess what, you know, where do you stand on that issue?
Well, I mean, of course, you know, this, anytime you're going to attack my profession and what I do, you know, is something that's going to be dear to my heart and close to my heart. And, you know, I think it's very irresponsible by these lawmakers who have never really stepped inside of my shoes or walked in my path during the day. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I'm an educator. You know, I'm a teacher at heart. I'm an educator, and my classroom is just happens to be out there on the athletic fields. And I understand the value of football. I understand the value of what it does to encourage, you know, young boys to become men and to be, you know, positive influences in our society. And if we take away, you know, the ability that football provides for these young men at an early age, and, you know, that whole thing is really going to be detrimental, I feel, to our society. And that's just the football side of things, you know, in terms of, you know, just what you're trying to create. Now take the technical side of it and what we're trying to teach these young men. You know, the lawmakers are trying to say, well, we can do something and let these kids play flag football, and then we're going to throw them into the fire, you know, unregulated weight classifications, and then as freshmen just go out there and start, you know, banging heads and those types of things. And that's totally irresponsible, you know, and they're trying to make all these claims against CTE when there's not even enough studies out there that are showing, and it's, you can research it, you know, all over the place, that there are doctors after doctor after doctor that are showing that, you know, there's not enough studies. We need to continue to do that. So before we overreact and we start banning things and taking away the decisions of parents, I think we need to take a step back. We need to continue to be educated on what we're trying to do, and we need to become more knowledgeable in this particular field and not just make rash decisions just for notoriety. Because I think ultimately nobody heard of these two lawmakers before they tried to attack our game, and now maybe they got the publicity that they want. But I think the coaches in Southern California and the parents are, you know, going to unite, and we will defeat this. I'm fully confident in that.
And I think you bring up a very important point there. Is part of this discussion, in part of this discussion, just saying football can wait to a certain age really devalues the skill development, really devalues the teaching side of this. That really, you know, those things go into creating a safe game. And I think when I talk to coaches across the country, they'll say that the game's safer than it's ever been, and it continues to be safer as we evolve our techniques, as we, you know, change the way we tackle, we change the way we block. You know, I've been excited to bring Scott Peters on board, and, you know, Scott's developed a system for blocking and defeating blocks that removes the head as a tool for contact. So when we look at all those types of things, and what we're doing as coaches, we're better in I think, certifying our younger coaches. We're trying to provide them better and better education. Those things really go into creating a safer game. And I've said from the beginning, when I first heard, you know, just the whispers of football being in trouble, was the game's in the coach's hands. Ultimately, it's not going to be a new helmet. It's not going to be, you know, different return to play protocols, all those kinds of things. They're all going to help, but ultimately the coach is going to have to figure out, how do we make this the safest game possible? Hey, it's a collision sport, right? It has inherent risk, like everything in life. But that being said, that we can be smart about this. We've certainly learned a lot from, you know, the time that I played, and, you know, we were hitting, you know, every minute of practice. And now it's so much different. You know, I think these kids don't even understand how much we do look into the safety and their health.
Oh, without question. I mean, you know, football is no different than any aspect of life. I mean, we're going to evolve. We're going to, everything's going to improve. I mean, that's at least the goal. I mean, if you look back at automobiles back in the, you know, in the 1970s, and then, you know, the way automobiles may have been constructed, or the safety features within automobiles, to the automobiles now that are being developed in 2018, or the laws that we have, you know, put in place to try to improve, not eliminate, but to improve, you know, driving skills and things like that. Obviously, we're all trying to make things safer. And I think every sport is doing that. It's not just football.
Right.
It's, you know, it's boys and girls soccer. It's, you know, it's softball, it's baseball, it's basketball, it's hockey, it's rugby, it's lacrosse. I mean, if just eliminating something just because you don't think it's right, or you think that you're going to, you know, save the world by, you know, helping one, you know, individual at a time, or one kid at a time, by passing laws that are going to eliminate this, that's just irresponsible, in my opinion. I mean, it's just, you know, you're trying to, you know, make a statement of taking parental rights away from people, and I think that's totally wrong. You make a great point in terms of, we just need to continue to evolve as a sport, and I think we're doing a really good job of that, all the way from the NFL level down to the youth level. And, you know, if we continue to do that, and we continue to work together, and we continue to have a relationship between, you know, physical therapists or athletic trainers or doctors, as well as football coaches, you know, and people that are working in our sport, to make it a safer sport, then we're all going to be able to enjoy the great game that this is. And I think we're on the road to do that. And we've done that over the years, and we just need to continue to do it. And we need to have patience, you know, in the process, and we need to make sure that we're all diligent in that. And if we do, our game's going to be, you know, around for a long period of time, which I believe it will.
Absolutely. And I know, you know, everybody looks for someone to take the lead in this, but I really think it is a grassroots effort. It has to happen with every high school coach in his community. It's his responsibility to go out and explain to his stakeholders, hey, overall, here's what's happening with the game. Here's what makes it safer. And in particular, here's what we're doing in our community. Here's the, you know, maybe the latest equipment we've been able to purchase. Here's what our coaches have been taught and certified in, et cetera. I think we really have to, we got to get in front of people and tell them right now that we're doing those things. We can't just, you know, sit on our hands and hope this is going to go away.
No, without question. And I think that organizations, you know, whether it be USA Football or Football University or the Southern California Coaches Association, you know, or any association across the country, you know, we all have to kind of unite and come together.
Sure.
And we need to educate people. Just like they're uneducated in terms of our game, they don't understand what we're doing as coaches. I mean, now in 2018, there are more certifications and coaching requirements that are going into this job than there was 10 years ago when I was a coach. You know, so we're constantly evolving and we're constantly trying to not only make the game safer, but we're trying to improve on our coaches, just like teachers do in a classroom.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, you're not going to all of a sudden, you know, take a teacher and throw them into the high school level and say, okay, now go teach. I mean, there's certifications, there's degrees, you know, there's experience, or there's, you know, student teaching. There's all these different types of, you know, steps or a process at which they have to go through to be in front and to be a teacher. And I think that we're doing that as a coaching profession. And as long as we continue to do that and we continue to have, you know, open dialogue with all the people that are trying to make this game safer, it's going to become safer and we're going to be able to enjoy it for a long period of time.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Coach. Shifting gears a little bit here and mm-hmm. taking a look back at, you know, the past season, you guys, again, had a lot of success in 2017. What were some of the takeaways from you? You know, every season, obviously, is an opportunity for us as coaches to learn from what we're
sure.
doing. So what things did you take away from the season that maybe went well or maybe things that you're looking to improve moving forward?
You know, I mean, this season for us in 2017, it was a tough one. I mean, it was probably one of the more gratifying years that I've ever had as a coach because we had so many different, you know, things thrown at us that were difficult to have to overcome, you know, from injuries to, you know, we played out of state twice. We played all the way down in Florida. We flew back home. 2 weeks later, we flew out to Washington, D.C. and played in D.C., flew back home. You know, the number one ranked team in the country, Mater Dei, we had to play them twice, you know, which I don't know if anybody's ever had to do that at the high school level in 1 year, is to play the number one ranked team twice in the country within an 8 week span. And, you know, I believe that we performed pretty well. I mean, you know, they were the best football team in the country and I think they proved that. But you know, our team wasn't that far off and, you know, we had to make a quarterback change in the middle of the season and go with a sophomore that had never, you know, started a game and his first game was against that modern day team, you know, the seventh week of the season. And I thought he performed pretty well and gave us a chance to win. And, you know, again, down the road, they just became better and better. And our teams kept improving as well along the way. We got to play him in the finals. And for three quarters of that game, it was a ball game. So, you know, I think good things from it. But like we talked about earlier, I don't think that you can improve as a program unless you really take a look at the negatives and you really take a look at the things where you failed and you try to improve upon those. And mm-hmm. I think that's something that obviously is going to be determined in the future to see if we are able to fix those things and how much better of a football team we can become. But I certainly was, you know, very proud of our performance. And, you know, we broke a California record this year by playing in the CIF highest level Division I championship for five straight years in a row. And that goes over spans over 100 years for us in our program to be, you know, the only team that's played five straight CIF championship games at the highest level. So I, you know, there's a lot of goods and bads to take out of the season. And as long as we embrace those things that were good and fix the things that were bad, I think our program is going to move forward.
Coach, with, you know, the tremendous expectations you guys have, the schedule you play, mm-hmm. the excellence that's expected, how do you keep things balanced, and I guess for lack of better terms, in perspective for everybody so that it's, you know, I guess not an over-the-top obsession. I'm sure you guys got to be a little bit obsessed with excellence. But, you know, at the end of the day, obviously, you got high school athletes, you got coaches sure. who got families at home, et cetera. How do you find that balance yep. for everybody?
Well, it's difficult, and I don't know if you're ever going to be able to do that. You know, that balance is something that is really difficult to find. And I think that what you need to do as a coach or as a person in the leadership role that I have is you have to have a pulse on your program. You know, you have to really be close to your coaches. You have to be close to your athletes. And you have to keep things in perspective. Like you said, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's high school football. You know, what we want to do is try to provide our student athletes at St. John Bosco with the best opportunity possible to enjoy a game that they all love. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to provide a positive experience, something that they really can enjoy. And later on in life, they can look upon it on some of the lessons that they learned, and hopefully it can help them become good young men in our society. So, you know, we have to keep it in perspective, and we got to understand that winning and losing is important to us. I mean, we certainly, you know, don't ever go into a game thinking, okay, well, we don't want to go win this. We just want to learn lessons from it. That's not something we're doing. We want to go and win every game that we possibly can, and we want to be successful and be great in that process. But again, you have to keep it in perspective. You have to understand that there are greater things that are going to come out of seasons, and sometimes some of your greatest learning lessons come from, you know, times of failure. I mean, if you go back and listen to Kobe Bryant or you listen to Michael Jordan, you know, talk about their game losing shots that they made at the end of the games, you know, far outweighed the number of game winning shots that they had. So, and they learned from it, and they learned that, you know, in order to succeed, sometimes you have to have failure. So you have to keep expectations in check. But ultimately, you know, if you're going to have and be a part of a program like ours, you're going to have to continue to be successful and win. So at the end of the day, we're going to win, but it's not going to be at all costs. We're going to keep things in perspective.
Coach, last question I have for you, and you guys do so many good things in your program, so this is going to be a tough one. If I told you, pick one thing that you would say, this is the one thing that if I got to pick one that really gives us the winning edge.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, I think we do so many good things at Bosco in terms of doing that, and I think that that is something that's, you know, obviously important, and it's at the forefront of what I'm trying to accomplish. I guess if I had to narrow it down, I would say that we've built a culture on understanding your role and doing your job. You know, that's something that we want to take a lot of pride in. And if every single person, you know, understands their role and realizes that they have value, and that's really important to me. And I think that's a key component or a key ingredient in order to be successful. And whether it's your five-star guy, you know, like we had Josh Rosen was a quarterback for us, and, you know, he's probably going to be one of the top two picks in the NFL draft coming up here in April. But if you realize that, you know, as important as Josh Rosen was to our program, you know, that guy that never stepped on the field for 4 years but committed himself to being a part of the scout team and helping us out and being a bag holder or being a guy that was just cheering on the sidelines is just as important, and or his role is just as important as Josh's was, then you're going to create a culture where everybody can have success. Because winning and losing it is determined upon, you know, how everybody feels about that. And I think that if everybody feels that they had some sort of, you know, contribution into winning, then you're going to create a very positive environment that's going to be able to sustain itself for a long period of time. And that's really difficult to do. Sometimes you'll see programs that are, you know, flash in the pan because they had really good talent, and then all of a sudden it drops off. The thing I'm most proud of is we've been consistent for 8 years. We've been extremely competitive. We've been extremely successful. And that's one thing that I take a lot of pride in. And I think it's because of the culture of just, hey, do your job, understand your role, and understand and realize that you have great value. And I think everybody in my program gets that. And that's the reason why we're successful.
Coach, how can our listeners connect with you and maybe learn a little bit more about what you guys do?
You know what? I'm an open book. So I've gone on speaking tours and spoken all across the country in terms of, you know, anything that we do at Bosco and what makes us unique. I'm very open to that. So if anybody ever wants to, you know, reach out, they most certainly can. You know, they can reach me at my email address, which is just jnegro@bosco.org, or they can, you know, DM us on Twitter at Bosco Football is our Twitter handle. Or BoscoFootball.com is our website. So if anybody listening today would like to even just talk on the phone, they're more than welcome to connect with me. This is a good time of the year to do so. And I'd be more than willing to speak to anybody and help anybody out, because I think that our profession is only going to get better if everybody within the profession is trying to be the best that they can be. And if I can play a little part into that and help anybody out or help anybody's program, I would certainly be willing to do so.
Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time here for being on the podcast, and thank you for all you do for our sport.
Hey, no problem. It was a pleasure, and you know, hopefully down the road we can achieve some more success and I can be on again. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.